plenty of talent in football. They just have had trouble keeping it in state.
Bro, I will tell you this. If you throw Nova in the Big Ten right now, and he's one of the top three quarterbacks, I can give you that.
Good point.
Yeah.
But I think Louisville probably is set up for more success in the ACC than Rutgers in the Big Ten.
Well, a guy who knows a little bit about quarterback play and a lot of other things related to football is Todd Ellis. He joins us on the Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack hotline. Todd Ellis, good morning. Welcome back.
Justin, Phil, good to be with you guys. Tell me that again, because that's a great title sponsor.
Sticky's Rock and Roll Chicken Shack, my man. They do chicken and they do rock and roll better than anybody else.
That is awesome. I hope I can make that sometime.
Yeah.
Tell them thank you. Thank you for the sponsorship. Are you guys doing okay?
Everything's beautiful. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, it's 75 degrees in Columbia, another Gamecock football weekend. It's Carolina's 4-1. Of course, around here, you'd think we were 1-4, you know, but I think that's natural everywhere, isn't it?
Yes, that's probably true.
Everybody thinks the worst is about to happen.
Yes, well, Arkansas fans, I'm not sure why, but there's quite a bit of optimism this week, and I guess when you're playing an opponent that is certainly talented but only beat Kentucky by 7 the previous week when they were at home, that would give you a little bit of reason for hope this week. Talk to me about the game last week. Most of us did not see it. We all know Clowney was out, and we'll talk more about that in a minute, but what exactly was the situation last week that allowed Kentucky to play you guys within 7?
Yeah, it was 27-7 in the third quarter. I think the Gamecocks kind of took their foot off the pedal a little bit. Then Kentucky put another long 10-play drive together. Very impressed with some quarterback draws with Whitlow. They threw the screen game, cut the lead, and then we fumbled the kickoff there afterwards. So, again, we gave up. They went for two, we gave that up for 15 points. And, you know, about a minute and a half, it cut the lead in there. And South Carolina, when they needed to, you know, had another 10 or 12-play drive pretty easily. Kentucky never came close to stopping us, really, offensively. I think we scored 7 out of 8 times we touched the football. But the issue was, is defense, again, like a lot of young defenses, can lose focus. And frankly, you know, I think, like we all knew, Mark Stoops is a good football coach. And they went in at halftime, figured out a couple of things they tried to do against our defense, and they worked. So, you know, that's why they pay them a couple million dollars a year as well, and those guys are on scholarship. They got some players that can make adjustments. So, I wouldn't bank too much on the Kentucky game, or for that matter, any previous game overall. I think Arkansas's got reason to be optimistic somewhat, but not just because of the Kentucky game.
Connor Shaw has had, you know, it's funny because we've talked a lot about a handful of different quarterbacks in the SEC this year, guys that maybe will make a push towards being invited to New York for the Heisman ceremony. Connor Shaw is not a name that's come up at all, but if you ask Steve Spurrier going into the season, if you could have 7 touchdowns, no picks, and around 70% completions, I'm guessing he would have taken it.
Yeah, if you ask Steve Spurrier or any other coach in the SEC,
would take that.
I promise you they would, and I'm not sure I'd trade him right now. The nature of the game, obviously, in my opinion, has changed so much because the quarterback has to be a weapon, not only through the air anymore, but he's got to make people miss. Even if he's just primarily a pocket quarterback, he has to ad-lib and make plays. And I'm not sure there's a better combination of those two in the Southeastern Conference right now than Connor Shaw. You put that together with his experience now, 20 wins as a starter for the Gamecocks. He's 20-4 overall, and he's playing exceptionally well. I'll tell you that he's tough. He can run it. You know, he's just this will be a big test for him again, because all 4 of those losses have come to really top programs in the top 15 or 20 on the road during his career. But we all know the venue that is Fayetteville, and the fact that the Gamecocks have only beat Arkansas twice in the state of Arkansas since this series got started in 92.
Todd Ellis, play-by-play voice of the South Carolina Gamecocks, joining us on the Stickies Hotline. Okay, so let's get down to it. The issue that has not only been the biggest story for this game, but also all of college football, it seems like, this week, and that is, of course, Jadeveon Clowney. Last year, I thought you provided a lot of very interesting insight into Marcus Lattimore, and, of course, that was a very sad story at that point of the year. But I thought it was very interesting and just about what kind of guy he was. Talk to me a little bit about what kind of person Jadeveon Clowney is, because we see the guy who puts on the big hits, who had all the hype coming into the season. Don't know much about him as a person. He's a guy that I really haven't seen do too many interviews until this week, to be honest with you. What kind of kid is he, and what do you make of all the negative attention surrounding him sitting out last week?
Yeah, well, I think it's a combination of, well, first of all, I am not going to overstate that JD and I have had several pizzas together or go out clubbing. I don't know JD that well. I do know him pretty well, as I know players, and I have great respect for him. He has an understanding of the game, a respect for his elders around him. His teammates really like him. He's a funny. He's definitely a jovial guy overall. This is not someone who dreads college or dreads practice. We've all known some great players that, and they just never seem to be happy. That is not JD. I think with regard to this past week, there were mistakes were made on several levels, all of which is a massive overstatement of importance. I think Coach Spur, first of all, obviously, JD could have informed the trainers earlier that he felt like he could not go, that it had not healed in the 2 days since his last treatment or had gotten to the hotel. He didn't feel like he could run enough and not feel the pain. Obviously, that needed to get communicated faster. When C. Spurrier walks by in the locker room and you're not in the uniform, that's not a good time to tell him, Coach, I can't play.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous in major college football with all that's riding on it. Now, having said that, he's 20 years old, guys. If we went down the line, the three of us, and I would think we're all pretty accomplished and respectable people, but the mistakes we made at 20 years old in judgment, that's not a big deal. JD make a mistake? Maybe he was reluctant to tell his coach. Maybe he knew it would make him look bad if he could not play and really the injury had not been stated in the press. Maybe he wanted to play and he was holding out to the last minute. I haven't talked to him personally about it, but I'm okay with him making a mistake. And then the head ball coach admitted he didn't handle it well in the postgame. And that he said, JD, I don't know, you need to ask JD the question of whether he wants to play or not. And at least, even though I don't think he believed it, made it sound like he might have believed that he was did not want to play or wasn't really hurt. And that's just not the case. So I think it's a massive overstatement. This has become a major story in any way. But I realize he's a likely and should be first-round draft choice in the NFL. So it is, the story is what it is.
Yeah, I won't ask you to comment on any further, and I know it just wouldn't really be fair, but I will say this. I don't know who's involved in the communication, whether it's position coaches or it's, trainers, but I am a little curious why there wasn't a conversation with him being held out of practice the last couple days of the week, a conversation late Friday night like, hey, man, how you feeling? How are the ribs? Man, how you feeling? How are the ribs? You're going to be okay tomorrow. I mean, I'm surprised. And I understand he was going through, the rehab stuff to try to get ready. I'm just surprised that there wasn't a conversation late Friday evening or early Saturday morning before they even headed over to the stadium as to whether or not there was a definitive answer from him one way or the other, whether he felt like he could go. So, I don't know. Plenty of blame to go around. I think you kind of alluded to that. So we'll move on from that. There's not much more to glean from that, as you said. Sounds like he is going to play this week, which is far more important to most Arkansas fans because he did practice yesterday. I don't know what to what level.
Yeah, I was out there. It looked like he went full to me most of the time. He wasn't in the inside drill too much, but he ran in team some, and I don't know. I know that's a painful injury. I'm one who actually had a tear or pull in between the rib cages as the quarterback. If you move at all, that was very painful, but I have no idea whether he'll play or not. I'm not sure that he will. Obviously, if you have an injury that you 3 hours before the kickoff, but finally determined that you just could not go, there's a chance of that could happen again, obviously, if not got better. But he did practice last night, and, he's played very well for the Gamecocks. I think it's been an incredible injustice by what people have said about him on a national level. We do not know him, nor do they apparently analyze the game very much when they talk about his 12 sacks and his 12 tackles, 2 sacks, right, and 3 tackles for the loss, and him not impacting the game. They've not watched the same film I've watched.
Let me ask you to go back to the injury thing for a second, Todd. And my guess is it would be hard to try a case in your current role, let alone try to quarterback a football team with that kind of injury. Did you miss a game because of that?
I did not. Thank goodness. That was actually the same week we had an open week when I was in Carolina, and I think we played Wake the next week, and generally I was almost completely healed. So, but I remember practice. And I remember trying to lift, and I remember trying to do all those things. And it's just one of those things where you can't catch your breath. It's like a real bad back spasm. Like that. Anytime you try to extend. end of any making kind of movement is locking up on you. And I haven't talked to JD personally, but being described to me and talking to Coach and his pain, all that stuff, that's apparently what he's got. It's kind of painful, but, yeah. You know, we need all the other players playing better. I mean, the reason, you know, Sutton's got to play better on the other side. I've never seen in 30 years of covering or playing football a lot of teams in weeks in a row. They have a designated tight end or fullback that breaks the huddle and simply looks for where number 7 is. Goes over and lines up to double team. Mm-hmm. I've never seen that. And I think it's a smart move. I'm telling you, I was playing against him. I think that's what we need to do as well. But when you factor that in to a defensive player and plays on the line, I think JD has played remarkably. And let me assure you this. Unless an NFL team needs a franchise quarterback, and there's one out there, and I think there's some good ones this year, but if that first team has got a pick, absolutely has to have a quarterback. J.D. Clown is going first in the draft. He is the best player in college football. Frankly, guys, he's the best 20-year-old football player I've ever seen. And I've watched them all between Deion Sanders to Darren McFadden. McFadden I put in the top 7 or 8 I've ever seen in my career played against. And a couple other Arkansas Razorbacks that are close up there. But let me tell you, none of them compare. At 20 years old, I'm not saying he's the best I've ever seen, but at 20, he's the best I've ever seen.
Yeah, I'm glad that you said that, too, and obviously, you know, I think most people would expect for you to defend him to some degree. We talked to Michael Felder with the Bleacher Report yesterday, and the phrase he used was, I find it disgusting that people have jumped on this kid. And again, my whole deal is you don't know the extent of the injury, just to go and automatically poke at him. And I saw guys like, you know, you mentioned some of the national pundits, I'll call them out by name with ESPN, guys like Colin Coward and guys like Feinbaum. I mean, absolutely out of bounds, I thought, some of the shots they took at him. I mean, Feinbaum called him the biggest joke in college football. I would tend to agree with you. You can in a big way impact the game with the numbers that he's put up. And just like you said, when he lines up on the field, it changes the whole offensive approach against him. So we've belabored it enough, but I hope that he'll do himself justice, maybe not this week, but the rest of the season, and folks will get off his back. But talk about the run game a little bit. Mike Davis, obviously, leading rusher coming in. Brandon Shaw, the dual threat guy. I think Arkansas fans are all too familiar with him. Talk to me about the ground game for South Carolina. That's actually been one place Arkansas's defense has been okay, but South Carolina is going to be probably as good as anybody Arkansas faced all year as far as the run game goes.
They're doing it well. They're doing it from a lot of different places. But, you know, maybe the surprise player in the SEC, again, I'm coming from a position that that obviously follows the Gamecocks weekly, intensely, but follows the league weekly as well, and love college football. But I would say maybe Mike Davis is a surprise player in the SEC this year. And there's a couple young guys, obviously, that are playing very well freshmen. You can't really count them as a group. But as far as somebody taking over a role who's not a freshman and new to the program, Mike Davis has been outstanding. He has got all three phases. He can run inside and pound you for that 2 yards you absolutely needed, like Marcus Lattimore could do, which is the best I ever saw at doing that, really. And he can bounce, get the outside thing, and then take it the distance. That's been the biggest thing. He's got 4 plays of 50 yards or more in his very young career, and 2 of those he take the distance. At South Carolina, only one guy has ever had 5 plays of that much during his career. And so Mike Davis has been very impressive against very good competition in a lot of ways. They're set up to stay off to him. And of course, when you do that, play action works off of it. And then Connor, he's all running up the inside zone. So the running game's good. Actually, the offense is very good, guys. It's certainly the best we will have ever taken to Arkansas and during my career. And actually, that's obviously during my career, the entire time we've been playing since 92. So it is the best offensive team we've ever traveled with.
I was looking at the numbers yesterday, and it looked like the Gamecocks are allowing something like 250 yards in the air per game. And we've seen all season long that proverbial eighth man of the box against the Razorbacks, forcing Allen to try to throw the ball quite a bit for 41 times, although trying to come from behind against Florida.
Or 9 or 10.
But tell me about the secondary, and specifically the corners. Did you expect them to be left out on that island with that extra man in the box? And how have they performed this season?
You know, that's a great question. Most of it, I will tell you, is those large chunks have come. I mean, those chunks, if you're on it, have come in large chunks. It has not been a lack of quality there or very good players. What we've had is breakdowns in defense or guys trying to ad-lib or guys doing on their own, trying to make plays and just broken and busted coverages. So you'll see, I think, you'll see the majority of the game in the past defense that they play at least good quality defense. Not that they're not going to, Arkansas's not going to get movement on them through the air, but they'll play good quality defense. They have just given up a big play, like you wouldn't believe. Obviously, UCLA made two 75-yard plus plays through the air in the fourth quarter alone, where they held them to under 300 yards during the time. And so I think some of the passing game has been inflated by a youthful group, but it's not been on a down-to-down basis. It's really, they've just, man, absolutely blown on some big plays. You know, that's the kind of thing that could not stop on a weekly basis, or, you know, could kind of slow down on you as they get that together a little bit better.
Todd, we've been hogging your time, pardon the pun, so we'll let you go here on this one. But I do want to ask one other high-profile matchup in the East this week. A really interesting Missouri team that has certainly played a lesser-than schedule, going on the road to play a very depleted Georgia team. I'm sure the Gamecocks would have loved to play Georgia with the roster they've got this Saturday. But any thoughts on that particular matchup?
Well, I haven't watched Missouri on film or TV as of yet, but obviously I've seen the numbers and read everything about them. I thought they were a quality team last year. And frankly, Franklin, the quarterback, played with absolute the intensity of a great against us. I mean, he was somewhat hurt. He's been through that argument with the coach single that week. I think that, I don't know, he just did not have his game on at all. I think they're much better there. He apparently seems to be very focused. And, you know, they gave Georgia a heck of a game last year. So, listen, in this league and in the East, and certainly with Missouri where they are now, I think every game is a heck of a ball game. Obviously, the Volunteers proved that last week. So I have great respect for Georgia, particularly in scoring points. But it appears Missouri can do the same.
That's a good one. Todd, we appreciate the time. Have a safe trip to Fayetteville. We'll visit again down the road here.
Thanks, guys. Good to be with you.
All right, take care. That's Todd Ellis, the voice of the South Carolina Gamecocks.